How's the festival been for you this year?
I think it is the best programmed, best organized festival we've pulled off yet. I normally, at this stage in the event, with looking back over the 5 years, have a list of moderators I'll never invite again. regrets over sessions that didn't happen because the fog stopped people coming, or invitations to authors who turned out to be wonderful on the page but no good on the stage. And, you know, there's always been the success and the hits and the misses, as they usually are. I have never felt that we've managed really to pull off my responsibility, which is basically the foreign authors and the foreign panels, as well as we have this time. I mean, there's been a higher percentage of, you know, 100%, like, you know, the five-star, completely perfect panels than we've ever had before. For me, the Jewish novel one with Gary Steingart and Howard Jacobson was the funniest panel we've ever had. The Shakespeare panel, I thought, was one the one that we best managed to pull together international writers and Indian writers and create something interesting and new. It's the first year that I haven't felt that there's been a stampede during the weekend. I think the venues have been the right size for the first time. And I'm really completely thrilled. I think it was really... I thought, certainly for the bit that I control the festival, which is the bit that I've been looking at and observing, is much, much the best we've ever had.
In the beginning, when people looked at the list, they said, where are the big names, when they were referring to the glitz names?
I haven't actually come across that criticism, though someone said it yesterday. I haven't seen anyone say that. But I think only those who are semi-literate could have said that, because it's the strongest list we've ever put together. We had fewer... I mean, I've always, in the programming, aimed, in a sense, on the cappuccino model, that you have a black body that's strong of the literature, but you also have a little bit of froth on top. This is not a JNU seminar. The idea is to have a bit of fun too. It's a festival, you know, which implies bunting, parties in the evening, everyone having some fun. And it's always seemed to me quite legitimate in that situation to invite a couple of chick lit authors to have an odd Bollywood celebrity with an autobiography, or a cricketer or something, you know. This year, in my part of it, I was so irritated last year by the way that Oprah sucked all the media coverage. Between Oprah and Salman, they more or less sort of eclipsed everything else that we did last year. That I was determined this year to get a more sober and weightier and more scholarly and more cerebral list together that couldn't possibly contain anyone who would hijack the thing that we would just have the meat. So and I think we succeeded in that. I think certainly from my understanding, it was you know, that I've never received so many compliments on the programming as we have.
I pretty much felt that way myself. I liked the mix. I liked the fact that there was. There are people that say, someone like Urvashi, as well-read as she is, had not heard of Michael Sandel, and I had, and then she was telling me about people that she had. So you had your stars.
What was interesting was that, I mean, I agree. I mean, someone like Michael Sandel, who you know, is a comet, is a spectacular performer, is not a household name in India, and yet we, as you saw, there was, I mean, to my amazement, that Charbagh was not just full, it was completely packed to the gunnels, and everyone seemed to have heard of him, certainly by the time he got on stage.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. How long does it take to put together the festival? When do you start?
So I can only speak for my bit of it. I say my responsibility is very precise. I am in charge of getting the foreign authors, which is about one third of the list, total list, and programming those sessions. And so I send out invitations in April. And there is a growing hum in my life, which gets sort of particularly from September onwards. And then it takes solidly pretty well all of December, all January.
When I talked to you 2 years ago, you told me that it's about 3 or 4 months of your life. So that's gone a little less now?
No, it's probably more. It's more, but it... it's 2 months solid, and the rest, yeah, it probably is. I mean, if you added it all up, it would be about 3 months still. Yeah, about the same. But it's, I suppose it's 2 weeks in April when the invitations are coming in, you're drawing it all together. Then a growing crescendo of meetings throughout August, September, October, November, 1 or 2 days a week, 1 or 2 afternoons a week.
Okay.
And then the whole of December and January.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so obviously, but the thinking on sending out those invitations would go even before that, because you would have a plan in mind.
Well, how it works with me is, I naturally read the review pages, and I'm an obsessive reader of book reviews, and I get The New Yorker, The New York Review of Books, and The Spectator, as well as all the Indian. And in the course of a year, I will accumulate in my BlackBerry a list of authors that I'm particularly interested in. And it's all, for example, Sadaka Kadri produced this book on Sharia law, and I read a brilliant review of it, I think, in The Observer, and decided that was the book that I must get. Sorry, that was the writer I must get. And so gradually this list accumulates. And then we always start with the list at the back of the thing, which is basically the people that have said they'd love to come, but they can't do it this year. Could we invite them again for 2014? That's always the list at the back of the program. So even before the thing opens, all those writers have already agreed in principle to come next year, which will, if they all come, will be about half my list. So there's this gradual sort of rolling thing whereby writers who for some reason or another, a family death or some accident or something, have to pull out or for some reason already booked, will come pulling it. So it's a perfectly manageable part of my life. The 1 year it was really difficult when I was writing this book, which was effectively 2 years ago. 18 months ago.
Yeah, that's the other part. Judging your career as a full-time writer with being a festival director.
Well, being a full-time writer is a movable feast. I only write a book every 3 or 4 years. I'm now in a phase where I'm launching a book. Next year, I will be hopefully have decided what I'm doing and will be beginning the research. And it'll be in 2 years' time that the festival will rub up against me actually writing a book.
Yeah.
But you do it simply by getting up early. I get up at 5:30 and get my writing done. And the writing is over by 2 PM. And the festival and other stuff will come in the rest of the day.
With Jaipur having exploded over the last few years from nowhere, in the beginning you would have been scrounging to get the people to come in, and now they must be beating down your doors. How do you handle that pressure from people wanting to be here and selecting?
I don't get recommendations that so much. I mean, I think Namata has a much more difficult job. I mean, it's potentially a way of making lots of enemies, this job. I mean, I remember when I was a young writer seething over the Edinburgh Festival programme and think, I'm from Edinburgh, why am I not in this list? And then there must be other people who I don't know who are deeply upset they haven't been invited, and one will only discover who they are the next time I have a book coming out. A.N. Wilson, when he was literary editor of The Spectator, famously said, you make many enemies in life, but you only find out who they are when you publish a book. But it's more a problem for her than me, I think, in that there's a nice word of mouth out about the festival, but I'm not generally sort of having foreign star writers beating down my door. It's a nice thing for me in that, you know, when I write now, most of them have heard of it, but I'm not sort of fending off the masses. I think Namata's film like that. I mean, you know, there's lots of sort of poets in Uttarkashi who think they should be here, and I think she probably has a more difficult job like that than I do.
Stepping back to last year for a minute, the whole birthday thing. How did that inform the way the festival was organized and the people that were invited this year, considering all the huge flare-ups that happened around that time?
Well, I think the first thing to be said is that even in the midst of all the Rushdie stuff, we had last year our most successful festival to date. We moved from a festival being about 60,000 people to 120,000. And we had a spectacular program with star writers like Richard Dawkins, Michael Ondaatje, Harry Kunzru, Steven Pinker, A.C. Grayling, Tom Stoppard, David Hare. And last year's programme was the best we'd ever had till date, and it was by far the most popular festival. And you had this sort of weird dissonance between, you know, attending these magnificent sessions on the ground and then opening the paper the next day to find, you know, a completely separate festival which I hadn't really been aware of, which was only about Rushdie and Oprah. And I was very upset that we were having this fantastic success on the ground, and the only message that was going out from the press terrace was stuff about one writer who invited herself and another writer who sadly couldn't come. But so I suppose that whole Oprah thing, as I say, made me determined to try and cut the froth this year and have a much stronger intellectual list. As for Rushdie, it didn't, I mean, as far as my job as festival director for the international list is concerned, it didn't really affect it at all. I went ahead and did my job as before. I mean, I think Sanjoy was far more aware about security and so on, but you should talk to him about that. And this year, I think we faced down the threats to very well. It would have been my job to invite him, and he did have a new book out, but I thought there was such, he'd been messed around so badly last year that I didn't even think of inviting him. I didn't know till 2 weeks ago that he was going to be here anyway, and we might have. But I think after all that tamasha last year, I think it's a good thing to have had a breather. I very much hope he'll come again, and I'm sure he will. But I think everybody needed a break after that last year.
Having read Joseph Anton and, you know, the events that he went to with someone else, being, what was the expression he used, his beard, I was kind of expecting that he, you know, because he'd also landed up in the country at the same time, that he would be making an unannounced appearance.
Yes. I saw him, he invited me to the launch of Midnight's Children, and we hung out together and it did occur to me then that he should be coming, but by then everything was in place and set. And I think no one, least of all him, wanted a repetition of last year. So let's give it a couple of years and we'll get him back. We owe him a huge amount. He was totally transformative for this festival. We were a tiny festival with 100 people, and the year, in 2007, that he came, Security Meta came and Kiran Desai came, was the thing that moved us from being a festival of 100 people to being suddenly covered in all the Indian media. And without him, we wouldn't be this enormous thing we are today. So I mean, you know, we're all friends and we are all on very good terms, and I very much hope he will be back again.
All right. What about a little storm with Mr. Nandi this year?
Again, that's not controversy. I wasn't there, and I didn't see it. And it's not part of my responsibility. It's Namita's part of this, so you need to talk to her about it. But I mean, it hasn't affected my perception of the festival. I've carried on exactly as before, and all the things that were, you know, reported in the media about Muslim groups objecting to Jeet, I didn't see anyone turn up and throw an egg or anything. It went on. I mean, everything that I was responsible for seemed to go completely according to plan. I mean, I think it's extremely unfortunate that we've had this whole thing, but I think what we're clearly going to have to do is we're going to have to keep in place the existing security arrangements, which have worked this year. There has been no trouble inside the venue in the way there was last year. And like a newspaper or a magazine, we're going to have to employ a team of lawyers. You know, Tehelka has this every week. Someone's trying to sue Tehelka, and there's FIRs against Taran, and he just accepts it as part of his job that he will have to employ a certain number of lawyers and have to come up in court every so often. And I think that we're going to be in the same situation. I don't think it's going to go away. As long as we're as prominent as this, people will see us as a springboard into a way of them getting attention. And I think, you know, if you're a leading institution in the country, in any country, you must expect a bit of this. But we'll have now to field an army of lawyers and keep ourselves, be able to defend ourselves in the same way that the Times of India or Tehelka can.
Where do you see the festival going now? It's already changed and evolved in a very short space of time from what it was to what it is now.
I think we are exactly where I'd like it to be. I'm very happy where it is. I mean, I'm not seeking to sort of transform it into Glastonbury and I don't want to move it from here. None of us want to move it from here. I think a lot of the charm of the festival comes from this gorgeous palace, and I didn't feel this year that it was too crowded.
I didn't think you could find more room, and you have.
We have. I think.
Whose ideas were those? The
Sanjoy's. Sanjoy's, and along with Rampertam Diggy.
I thought that was very well managed.
Very well managed, and I have to say I was not particularly pleased when Sanjoy first suggested the idea of moving the music stage to Clark's. I was a bit pissed off because I've always liked it being the same, but it's worked very well. It's a very manageable, and that's a nice space too. I've enjoyed the Clark Lawns and all that. So that was Sanjoy's, and I was initially unconvinced, but I have been converted to that. I think I'd be very happy to continue like that next year. I thought, instead, if one thing that came under my watch that I was not happy with, I think the music was less good this year. Music. I think our literary, the literary bit that I run was 9.5 out of 10. I think it was very close to as good as I'm capable of doing it. I think the music this year was only 7 out of 10. It was notably less good than the last 2 years. And if there's two things that I'm going to take, we have a meeting in about a month's time to learn lessons, and the two things I'm going to take to that meeting, it's going to be more focus on the programming of the music in the same way that we focus very closely on the programming of the literature.
Why is music important in a literature festival?
Because it's a festival. As I say, it's not a JNU seminar. I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to have an incredibly intellectually demanding day with your head bombarded by new ideas and degrees, and then in the evening go and party. That to me is the perfect day.
Particularly music. I mean, why isn't there a lot more art displayed, for instance?
I suppose that just reflects the interests of the festival directors. I love the kind of music we have, and it has a particular sound, and that's what we do. I mean, I think if I was mad keen on theatre, we probably would have had theatre. If I'd been into ballet, we probably all classical dance. But that's the festival we are. The Verasset Festival, which preceded us, was all about music and dance. But that's moved and morphed into the Jodhpur Riff now. And John and Faith, who were the moving spirits behind the original Jodhpur Verasset Festival, now are the moving spirits behind the Jodhpur Riff, which is a great success on its own. I think the second thing, which I'm raising at the meeting, is, and then this has been misreported, I think, somewhat. We are in debt this year entirely due to our own laziness and lack of focus on sponsorship. There is no reason whatsoever that a festival of this nature, prominence, and media visibility should not be making a healthy profit. We are not in the business. We don't want or need or should not be eating loss. And the reality is that we're all... none of us really take a huge interest in the sponsorship, and we need to employ some sharp-suited guy with a bit of go-get who's going to get a small commission for raising sponsorship, and he needs to be full-time, and we need now to get that in place. Despite there being a recession, had we focused on this, we would be not making a loss. And it's stupid for us, it's stupid for the festival. We had to cut some of the music program, for example, at the last minute. There's all sorts of things we had to sort of slightly tailor. That was entirely our negligence. We took our eye off the ball, and that's something we need to address next year. And it's easily done. It's a very simple thing. You employ a professional sponsorship manager, and that's the thing solved. You know.
We spoke about this, I remember, 2 or 3 years ago when we talked, and you said, you know, so far you don't get, there wasn't a financial stake in terms of you being compensated for your time, but you said, in a few years, that's going to change.
Yeah, and we haven't. And the reason we haven't is just we haven't done it. There's no reason for it other than the fact that we... have failed to focus on it, and that's something we need to focus on. And also we need to get a trust structure in place. We need to get a team of lawyers together, and we need to establish it and have the whole thing much more clearly defined than it is at the moment, so that it's financially and legally sustainable for the long term. At some point, obviously, I think, you know, who knows when, but at some point the existing team will have to pass it on. And at that stage, whether it's in 2, 5, 10 or 20 years, it would be nice to have a well-established structure, like the Edinburgh Festival is, with a nest egg in the bank that will sustain it through stormy weather that inevitably will lie ahead at some point, you know, putting aside the grain for the winter. And that, I think, is something we need to look at now, very clearly.
And do you see, when looking at expansion, for instance, if you said the festival is where you wanted it to be, fair enough, but for instance, with the brand has gone to other places as well. Do you see the JLF brand expanding into other places?
No, we discussed this 2 or 3 years ago, And we all decided this was enough for us. That I mean, Sanjoy may well. I mean, he, for example, collaborated with Hay on the Kerala Festival, and he an amateur is advisor to a whole variety of festivals. But certainly for myself, I feel this is more than enough festival directing. This is not my main job. I'm a writer, and I can do this and write books as has happened this time. But I don't see myself as a. There was one moment when we had an offer about 3 or 4 years ago to open something in Goa at a time when there weren't other festivals in Goa, and we were umming and ahhing about whether to do that, and we didn't. And now, of course, there's Think and there's two or three others, and that moment's gone. Yeah. So no, I think we made the right decision. I think. I mean, if none of us had any other jobs, then that might well have been an option.
And might have got the sponsors because it would have depended on it.
But we all do have other jobs, and I say this is my favourite week of the year. I love this festival, but I wouldn't want to be going through it again any sooner than another 11 months and 29 days, 28 days.